The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
We're talking about covenant relationships. God has cut covenant with you. Do you realize what that means to have a covenant with Almighty God? Covenant is more than just an agreement. Covenant is more than a contract. Covenant means you will give your life to keep it. That's what God did. Gave his life to keep covenant. Came here as a person, as a man. Shed his blood on the cross for us. And cut that covenant. Because of blood. That's where covenant is sealed. It's through blood. In the Old Testament, what they would do with covenant, when two men had a covenant, or two groups of people had covenant, they would divide the carcass of the animal that they were sacrificing. They were doing this all before Almighty God. They would divide that carcass, and then the two would walk between the carcass and the blood, and it was sealed for all of eternity. And they were not to break that covenant. If you broke your part of the covenant, the penalty was death. The other person had the right to take your life. God had the right to take our life. He chose not to. He chose to die in our place. I think that's powerful. Powerful to know our God keeps covenant. He's keeping covenant with you right now. Part of his covenant is health, it's wholeness, it's financial blessing. Deuteronomy 8:18 tells us this. Remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant that he swore unto your fathers as it is this day. What he's saying is the covenant's still in effect. He swore to your fathers, it's still in effect today. That was Old Testament, still in effect today. We are God's people. Chosen generation, royal priesthood, a holy nation. You can't get any better than that. The power of God. He gives you power to get wealth. Now, getting wealth has a different connotation to different people, different times, different stages of your life. He means that you're going to be prosperous in everything that you do. Now, by the world standards, let me back up and say, by United States of America standards, I am not wealthy. I consider myself very wealthy. But I don't have the toys that most wealthy people have. My wealth is in a beautiful family, a loving wife. I have a roof over my head, a vehicle to drive. I have enough. I have a great church that loves me, supports me, and I love them. You can't get any wealthier than that. As far as I'm concerned, I am the most wealthy person in Meigs County. Athens County, Gallia County, Washington County. It doesn't get any better than this. Would I like to have some more money? Yeah, sure I would. What would I do with it? I'd find something good to do with it. I know for sure, the more we have, the more it seems like we give away. And I'm not bragging about that. I'm just telling you, that's our lifestyle. We've grown up in the body of Christ realizing that you can't outgive God. Amen. There's absolutely no way. If I pour in to people's lives, no matter whether it's money or relationship, love, compassion, my goodness, it comes flowing back. Yeah. Forgiveness. Look, sometimes we just have to sit down with each other and say, I'm sorry. I made a mistake. Forgive me. By experience, I can tell you there is nothing like the healing that comes when we do that. There's wonderful power of God. But what kind of wealth are you looking for in your life? I'm not opposed to God giving you stuff, money so you can buy things. Hallelujah, that's wonderful. Just make sure you keep everything in proper context. Remember, you keep everything in order. God, the Word of God, what I'm talking about when I'm talking about covenant relationship this morning, number one, make sure God is number one in your life. If you will do that, you will get everything else in order. Everything we have belongs to our Heavenly Father. God said it himself in Psalms that he owns all the beasts of the forest and cattle on a thousand hills. They all belong to him. He's given us the responsibility here to be stewards or managers here in this earth of the things that he has given us. I want to manage my whole life, not just my finances. I want to manage my whole life according to the will of God so that I have godly relationships, so that I treat my wife the way she deserves to be treated. You know? Praise God. I want her to be a thoroughbred. I believe she is. So I can't treat her like a nag, right? Not very funny, is it? That's right. I'm not saying she is. I'm saying, you know, we've got to treat each other the way the Word of God speaks to us about brotherly love. That's one of the things we're going to talk about a little bit this morning. But let me share some things with you as we get started here. Praise God. I do want, before I get too far into this, I do want to invite everybody. Tomorrow night we have our staff meeting. If you do anything at all in this church, staff meeting 6:30 here at the church. We have a potluck. Everybody's invited. It's a great time of unity. I do a little teaching. We just have time of fellowship and fun and enjoy each other's company and learn some things together. So please come and be a part of that. If we can recognize the reality of what God is saying to us about wealth, he gives us the power to get wealth. I believe we will walk in the kind of prosperity God has for us every day of our life. We will recognize and we will see the good things of God, and we'll keep the right perspective on the things of God. Praise God. If you're in a situation where you're making lots of money, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm glad. I'm happy for you. I want that to be the case. I want every person in here to have more than enough. More than you need. But you know, part of managing that properly is recognizing that you need to live within your means. Here's what seems to happen in, particularly in the United States, is if we have a $30,000 income, we max out our debt to $30,000. Or just to be able to meet our overall needs. If we have a $40,000, $50,000, $100,000, $200,000, we borrow until no matter what kind of an income we have, we're just barely getting by. I can tell you this, 85 to 90% of the world would love to have my income. Most people in the United States don't want my income. They'd like to have more. But when we look at it, get the right perspective on these things, we can learn to live within our means. No matter what your income is, you can live comfortably if you do not allow this thing, this debt monster, to overtake you, which really is an indication of covetousness, being coveting or coveting things, desiring more. Because you desire things that you don't actually, you don't have the money to go out and get. It's bondage. The borrower is slave to the lender. Praise God that we can live above that. We can live beyond that. We can recognize we don't have to have that kind of a lifestyle. I want to tell you something. I don't know what's going to happen in the future. But financially, the whole world seems to be teetering on collapse. There's some crazy things going on out there. If you've read anything about from Jonathan Cahn, his book, The Harbinger, or listened to his teachings, he believes that God is warning the United States of America. It's time to come back to Him. And praise God, there is a movement right now. Dutch Sheets is involved with it. We believe that God has called us to recognize that He wants to bring revival to our land. It's up to us. Are we going to cry out to Him? Appeal to heaven is what's happening. There's a prayer vigil going on even in Columbus, July the 11th, I believe, was the flyer. Everybody's invited to go and be a part of that, where our officials and leaders in the body of Christ are going to get together and pray for revival. And believe it or not, we have godly officials. Not all of them, but some of them do believe in Jesus Christ and want this nation to stay on track. Or get back on track, I guess I should say. So, as we think about these things, that's part of the power to get wealth, to establish His kingdom. That's what He wants for us, so that His kingdom can be established. The way we use our resources today, in this place, in this life, also has to do with the way we will be rewarded in the kingdom. How many have ever been taught that you shouldn't expect anything from God? You just give and don't expect anything from God. Have you ever heard that? If you have, okay. Don't you think that's ridiculous? When you really think about it. Because He's our Father. The pattern is family. And as a father, my children know that, especially when they were growing up, that if they did certain things, they could expect their father's pleasure. And their reward would be to receive whatever I told them they would get for doing what they were supposed to do. That's the same pattern we have in the kingdom of God. When we please our Heavenly Father, when we do something that pleases Him, we can expect reward from that. It's okay to be reward motivated. There's nothing wrong with that. Let me show you what Scripture says about it. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Can go to verse 11. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Paul says that's what our foundation has to be. But then once we have that foundation, what are we building? We're supposed to be building the kingdom of God, building up. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each work of what sort it is. In other words, if we are building on material things in this world, it's going to be revealed. Now, he's talking to Christians here. Let's get the right perspective. Let's recognize he's not talking to people who have not been regenerated, who have not received salvation in Christ. He's talking to Christians. And he said, you Christians, some of you are building with the wrong material. You're building for this life when you should be laying up treasure in heaven. If anyone's work which he has built on, it endures, he will receive reward. Now, biblical doctrine says it's okay to expect reward from our God. If you do what you're supposed to do, if you're living according to his biblical principles, if you give, you can expect it to be given back to you. The principle of sowing and reaping is absolutely in effect today, just like it has been from the beginning of time. When you sow something, you're going to reap it. I put corn in the ground, corn's going to come up, right? I don't put corn in the ground and go out and expect, well, at my house, I put corn in the ground, don't expect much of anything. But I don't put corn in the ground and go out and expect cucumbers. So what you sow is what you reap. That principle is so powerful. If we live by that principle as believers in Jesus Christ, my goodness, everywhere we go, we're going to be reaping, because we have a pattern of sowing. That's why some people who come into the kingdom of God and it takes them some time to get their life on track, because they have sown wild seed for so long. And they're going to reap that for a period of time in their life. You have to be strong enough and recognize that the power of God does not just wipe away all that bad seed. Seed is seed. It's sown. The power of God gives you the ability to begin and the wisdom to begin to sow good seed, so that your life can turn around and you can change your direction. Sowing. That's why it's important that we, number one, our relationship with God is intact. Jesus said the first and the most important principle is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Your heart, it's the Greek word there is cardia. It's where we get our word cardiac. And they believed it was the innermost part or being of a human. Your desires, your hopes, everything about you, it's inside of you. And he went on to elaborate. All your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Everything about you has to worship God. If we think coming in here on Sunday morning is all there is to worship, we miss it completely. Worship is a lifestyle. Worship is recognizing that when I go out there, that my attitude, my behavior, my works are all part of worship. Yes. This is a hard one, because every one of us sometimes gets up on the wrong side of the bed sometimes, right? I mean, it'd be simple if that's all it was. You got up on the wrong side of the bed, just get back in, get up on the other side. We'll get it taken care of. It doesn't work that way. We have nasty attitudes sometimes. We don't feel good. We have brain fog. There's all kinds of things. But when we take that attitude out into life, or we take it into our family, we are sowing bad seed. And that we don't want to do that. That's why it's so important that we recognize that the things that we speak, that comes from the heart. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So that's why we got to get the heart right, so that what comes out of the mouth is the right thing. That every day I'm speaking goodness and good things and positive things into my wife's life. And let me tell you, doesn't always happen. But I get back on track. I recognize that I made a mistake. She always reminds me. And we start over. Forgive me. Let's get this thing right. Look, none of us are perfect. We're going to make these mistakes. Mistake is not the problem. It's denying that you made the mistake and just keep going. We got to get it right. Our attitudes are so important. When it comes to this sowing and reaping thing, it is so important in our relationships. We're to have the kind of relationship with our brothers and sisters where we are sowing and building up and encouraging. That's why I asked you to come to the staff meeting, because it's a time of encouragement, building up. We need that. I hope that I do that from the pulpit. I love every one of you. As I'm standing up here preaching and teaching the Word of God, I want you to feel encouraged and lifted up. However, there are sometimes that things that I say are going to cut like a knife. Not because I'm trying to hurt anybody, but I'm just trying to get us all moving in the right direction with God. Sometimes your toes are going to hurt. I'm going to step on them. Think of that as a good thing. A little bit of pain sometimes is a good thing. If I have a splinter in my hand, I say, Tammy, take that out. And she has to dig around. That's painful. But it's better than leaving that obstacle in there. It has to come out. That's what we want. We want to get those obstacles out of our lives, so that we can walk before the Lord and accomplish His kingdom work. Let's look at a couple things here. Remember, in this message, we're basing this on 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 9. Then the people rejoiced, for they had offered willingly, because with a loyal heart they had offered willingly to the Lord. And King David also rejoiced. They were giving into the offering to build the temple, and everyone gave willingly. Now, as I stand up here and I encourage you to be a part of the stewardship campaign, please don't feel like I'm twisting your arm. I don't want to twist your arm. I don't want somebody to give that doesn't want to give. What I'm asking for is your heart. Do you believe Bethel Worship Center is your church? Do you believe in me as your pastor? Do you believe in the leaders of this church? If you do, then I believe I have your heart, and I believe you'll give. You'll be a part of it. And that's between you and God, how much you give to it. Pray about it. Seek Him. Ask Him what you should do. And I am confident that God will speak to you and direct you in that. The Hebrew word loyal means complete, safe, peaceful, perfect, whole, full. It speaks of a person who fully understands and keeps covenant. The Word of God tells us that people not only give willingly in this situation, but they gave willingly because they had loyal hearts. They were loyal to God. They were loyal to their leaders. We have to have loyalty among leadership toward the people, people toward leadership. If we don't have that, we'll have nothing. That's what family is all about. Hopefully, you know, we understand the family model, that people are supposed to be able to trust their father, trust their mother. I know in our society that's not happening all the time. And that's the breakdown of family. But that's the model that God put together. That's what He intends. He intends for children to grow up in a household where they trust their parents and they feel secure with their parents. That causes them to grow up well-adjusted and ready to move into society and to do their part. The leaders here believed that it was God's will to establish His covenant through these things. So the first thing that we talked about this morning is that a loyal heart keeps covenant with God. The second thing I've been talking about is a loyal heart keeps covenant with God's people. We have covenant with each other. I have covenant with you, and you have covenant with me. That means that we're going to walk in love toward one another. What does that look like? Turn with me to Romans chapter 12.